take your seats, guys. Praise God. Praise God. Let's receive our offering if we can, please. Wow, I've got my soft radio voice on. Easy listening, Tuesday nights. Feels a bit like that. When you get off of a plane 3 hours before you minister, it can be like that. It's not right. It's not really. It's pretty good, actually. Now, while you're sewing in, just reminding, this Sunday we have an impartation service. So we're going to be laying hands on everybody. The whole team will be here. There's a lot of the team right now. I would expect them to be in bed. So we got in about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Flew in from London via Doha. And if you ever fly Qatar, they like cutting things fine. So yeah, we had to run between flights. So yeah, anyway, it is what it is. Holy Ghost. So this Sunday we have our impartation service. That's going to be wild. We've still got at least one party still back overseas. We didn't lose them. It's okay. They're there of their own. We didn't lose them. We didn't lose them. All right. So just so you know. And I heard there was a last week or the week before, 8 baptisms. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And people's lives are being changed. It's so wild. And I'm not going to do any announcements because I couldn't be bothered. All right, so that's good. I'm going to pray. All right. Just get a word of knowledge. All right. Thank you, Spirit of God, you're here. Thank you, Lord God, for wisdom and revelation. Thank you for encounter. Thank you, Lord, for your river in this place. I thank you for a spirit of agreement. We ask for wisdom, Lord. We thank you for showing us your will and your ways. I thank you. I just bless everyone's spirit tonight. I just thank you for open ears and open hearts. We just thank you, Lord God, for stuff that shatters the limiting matrix. We thank you, Lord God, for birthing things from heavenly dimensions. We thank you for a spirit of hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to try not to slur and stumble over my words, but I'm doing all right. I want to talk a bit about, well, at the beginning of the year, I saw it actually in a vision 24 and 24. Yes, we're in 2024. And the Gregorian calendar would say that that's 2024 years after Christ, if you know what I mean. And but it was about the numbers as opposed to the year. The numbers actually got quickened to me, and it was heavenly governance over cycles of time. You have 24 hours. And we have just had the freakiest trip. No one's debriefed. Nothing's landed. It really was. There was so much in it. We went to Greenwich Meridian. Who knows what Greenwich Meridian is? So a handful of us continued on the trip. We went to London. But basically is that days were measured by the length of days by the sun, and there was too many different time zones, and it was too inconsistent. It interfered with world trade. So in the 1800s, they established Greenwich Mean Time. And so even if it's dark, it's still a certain time. Okay? And, you know, we all get clever. We do daylight savings, but places like Queensland don't like it because it makes the fades the curtains. Okay? You know, squeezing that extra few hours in. But, nothing like it getting light at 4 a.m. Isn't that awesome? Sort of like, you know, I'll be right in the morning, sort of like. And so we went there, and it's interesting because that that number 24 for this season, and I don't think seasons just tick over every year. I think I'm convinced seasons are spiritual, and they're tied to what we do or don't do. So Mary had the ability; she had the faith. Yes, she was Jesus's mum, but she had the ability to pull forward the season of miracles. And he clearly said, "It's not yet my time." The Son of God says, it's not my time. Next minute. So there's something about seasons that we have such a role to play in. It's not just passive observance of time. And so so then going through the Greenwich Meridian, the observatory, etc., the number 24 being so significant is that in 1880-ish, they decided to divide the world into 24 different time zones. And I think at present, is that GPSs that you would get on your phone or anywhere else are calibrated by 24 satellites. So there's something very unusual. We know that 12 is government. It's a very unique number, 12 tribes, 12 apostles. The New Jerusalem is just resplendent with 12s. And so we've just thrown ourselves in to do a whole bunch of things. But the thing about this whole subject matter is that we're going to approach it from two different angles. And this is, I really hope this is the best half-baked message you ever hear tonight. I just want it to be the best half-baked because I don't feel it's fully baked. I'm going to share stuff with you guys. You're going to get a lot out of it because it's very rich, but I'm still landing it and what that looks like. So according to Einstein, time is the fourth dimension. And so you really only know where you are according to what time it is. Isn't that interesting? Another guy has a very strong, considered supernatural opinion about the fourth dimension. His name is Yong-Yi Cho. And I think that the key to seeing heaven and earth lining up is solving the riddle of time, where people they think they're in faith, but they're more in hope. Hope is amazing. It is a cardinal virtue. It's unique in so much as you don't know about hope until you lose it. You don't have young kids going, "How are you going, Johnny? I'm full of hope." You know, they just are. Until something tragic happens and they just can't climb out of that pit and they lose hope. So, but faith, what happens is that faith connects heaven and earth. And that's what we want. We're doing a double lesson on Illuminate on or tomorrow. And whatever you want, if you want God to move, you need to imitate heaven. Otherwise, we're just hoping for revival, hoping for output. It doesn't work. You've got to make faith steps to actually create a landing place. So I want to, we've just gone for a couple of weeks and it feels like a month. Honestly, felt like a month. I think it's yesterday, that we're just going to the airport. It feels like we've been away for a month. There was so much jammed in there. We're in Kairos. But what I want to do is I want to start with Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. And it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." Come out. "To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." This is interesting. To understand a proverb and an enigma, right, or a riddle, the words of the wise and their riddles. And so isn't it interesting that people of understanding will gain wisdom? So it's use it or lose it. It's like someone who didn't use what they had before the Lord got it taken away. And when you use what you have, you get crazy abundance. So to understand a proverb and enigma, and the word of the wise and their riddles, I remember growing up, just keep it on the other one, we've become quite quite bland in the way we were raised, I'm convinced, and you know, obviously, very influenced by Greek philosophy, Western philosophy. But I remember, you know, growing up is you learn to solve riddles. People don't, kids these days, it just gets too hard and they throw their hands in the air. We have to solve riddles, friends. That's part of wisdom. People go, "I can't do it." You know, and that, well, if you think you can't, then you won't. And so we have to solve. I remember, you know, just growing up here, interesting stories, myths about the Sphinx. I think it's somewhere in Egypt. Now, talk about that, you know. And the riddle was, what walks on four legs in the morning, two legs in the middle of the day, and three legs at night or later in the day? And it's like someone had to solve this, otherwise something happened to them, you know. And they were like I can't remember what it was. I mean, it wasn't like they turned to gold. That was Midas. But it was something else. I can't remember. But basically, it's like in the morning, and the answer was man, because in the morning you're a baby, you're crawling on all fours. Middle of the day you're walking on two, and when you get older you've got a walking stick, right? Just you know, and they had to know the average weight of an African pigeon. That's another one. But to solve riddles and enigmas. And that's how one of the major reasons why World War II was won by the Allies, because they cracked the Enigma code. So we have to solve some issues. We're here in part to solve riddles and enigmas. And it is it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, glory of kings to seek it out. And so some things seem impossible, but God says, no, if you wait on me, I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. So what was the next part of that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So one of the things in this season, when you get the word 2424, it is an enigma. It is a code that needs to be cracked. If Yonggi Cho at that stage had built the largest church or had the most numerically successful ministry in history up to that point, and he put it down to one of the major things is the fourth dimension, and that's one of the required reading with Illuminate, is because you go, God's going to answer my prayer. No, he won't, because you've pushed it into the future. The realm of the spirit is an eternal, continual now. And so when we engage the Lord, I remember one of the most crazy moves of God I've ever seen in my life is when God asked me to lead worship for the first time ever in the southern Philippines. And I had to have the anointing of a gooby goober because we were singing, there's going to be revival in the land, what a mighty God we serve, he turned my morning into dancing. And I was standing on a chair up front leading with the full actions and trying not to fall off. And the word of the Lord came to me, we are fools for Christ's sake. And so that sometimes we've got to engage things that are out of our comfort zone. If you don't understand, this seems so easy to hear this and go, yeah. But God, through a prophet, told the king, firstly, to fire the arrow out of the window and then take another arrow representing God's deliverance to strike the ground with the arrow. Now, it was a prophetic act. Seems so innocuous. It seems just symbolic. And Elisha saw the king engage half-heartedly in unbelief and just gave three little taps. He didn't believe what he was doing. This is this guy. Elisha was getting the secrets of the enemy king. No matter where he was sharing it with his top commanders. Chariots of fire. We're talking crazy stuff. You know, so anointed that even when a double portion, yeah, Elijah gets to go to heaven, avoid death. And Elisha still died, but so anointed that when someone fell on his bones, he got resurrected. Like, incredible. That was just incredible. But because he struck the ground three times half-heartedly, is that God delayed the inevitable as opposed to completely delivering them from the enemy. So don't ever, ever despise the day of small things or prophecy, test all things. But some of the things we were called to do was to do these striking the ground out of faith, especially if God is showing you riddles and enigmas. And faith moves the hand of God. So sometimes God will get you to do stuff like that. So we struck the ground a number of times, a number of places. We went to Hebrides. Hebrides is a long way away. It is right at the very top of the UK, and it's pretty wild weather. I'm telling you, God, with the favor of God on our trip, insane. We had really, really good weather. It was the 2 weeks before carrying the ferry, going catching the ferry out, they just cancelled it because the weather was too wild. And we were like almost like a mill pond again. It was like crazy. So we're at the Hebrides. Some of the team went down to London to do a bunch of things. A few weeks ago, the Lord says, He wants me to go to Wales. So I went to Wales, and I went to the Rees House Bible College, Bible College of Wales. I got to seek God. They put me in Rees House's prayer room for 4 hours on my own. That was wild. There's so much stuff to unpack. There really, really is. That was crazy. And I had to overcome some trials to get there, because I went to the underground to connect with the train, and the underground was closed. There was a lot of closures. The Circle Line was closed, Daryl. They closed down a lot of the Circle Line, so you couldn't get where you needed to go if you were going through one of those certain lines. And so then I'm like, when you're not used to the British Underground, the tube, it can be a bit interesting. So I'm running late to go to the Bible College of Wales. And then I'm like, find myself on this cruddy train. I got up at 4:30. So it was a 3.5 hour train trip. So that day I did 7 hours to be there for 5 hours. But God wanted me to go, all right? I'm really, really excited about the stuff the Lord's been doing and showing us. But, and then all of a sudden, halfway through the trip, they say, the front couple of carriages, this train will split in two. And the front couple of carriages will go on to Swansea. We'll stop at Swansea, and the other one's going to go to... That's a Welsh word, okay? If you've ever seen Welsh words, you're like, I thought Hebrew with no vowels was hard. You know, we say Yahweh, but it's like, yeah. Anyway, so I get in the first... I get the first two carriages, and I've never seen... It was like a cross between a frat house and a bachelor party. 9 o'clock in the morning, people are drunk out of their minds. I'm now stuck on a train with football hooligans. It was like the whole time was like someone did a beer burp in our face. It was like constantly like that. My battery is running low on my phone. If I don't have a battery, I can't contact them when I get there. I can't listen to music. I'm disassociating. And they were into it. We're talking. I didn't know people still drank Fosters. I mean, that is like Terps. I mean, it's even worse than VB. And Red Stripe, because it's from Jamaica. Look, this place is crazy. And boy, did I get an education in filth. I'll tell you what, right now, I'm sitting there going, I'm about to go to the Bible College of Wales. And when I get there, police everywhere. Because of riots. And I'm chatting to Daryl. I'm telling him what's going on. He goes, yeah, it's pretty rough out there in Wales. And I worked it out. We went past the soccer stadium and went Swansea versus, and turned out to be Millwall. And Daryl goes, they have the worst supporters. So that was an eventful day. I'll go into the Bible College part another time. But some of our team went from there just because they like making life easy. They went up to Iceland. Iceland. But there's some stuff going on. And also, so we got people in our group in London having visions they don't understand, asking me to interpret them. As I was leaning into it, the visions are completely relevant and accurate to what Christine is going through in Egypt at the moment. So we've got this very, very weird dynamic. We've got enigmas and riddles. And it's not about winning a chook raffle. It is about changing history. Because if we can... So the fourth dimension is time. And this is going to be one of the best half-baked words you've ever heard. But I want to put some things out there for your consideration. Because we just think time just passes. Or you can save time. Or make time. Or manage time. And we have no idea that it's a lot more metaphysical than we understand. It felt like we did a month's worth of ministry. And I haven't had, like, every day I'd wake up, hit reset, and go into a full-on day. And it's sort of like, it wasn't until I got home and go, I've got to preach in 3 hours. What happened? You know, and it was pretty epic. But what I want to do, I want to lead in with this Daniel chapter 7. It says, this is the little horn, the demonic little horn. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. We're just going to keep it on this screen. We don't need the second half. He will speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and laws. So this is Chaldean. It's not Hebrew. And so you can take that down now. He will intend to change times and laws. So times is the equivalent of kairos and seasons, and laws is decrees. So you have someone of an evil nature with evil intent wants to change time. And yet in the West, we think time just tick-tock, and it just... And you actually can change time, especially not just chronos, but kairos, which is a special appointed season measured by certain attributes, characteristics, and qualities. For example, Jesus coming into Jerusalem during the Passion, his triumphal entry, that's a kairos. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I wanted to gather you like a hen gathers her chickens, but you did not recognize the kairos of your visitation. So the sons of Issachar and Chronicles said they recognized the seasons and the times. So time is, I believe, it's one of the major things, maybe more than space, to be honest. Time is the thing we have to solve. And so we think time's just a constant. But this is an interesting one. We know in the garden with the fall of man, the Lord said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And again, we have very cartoonish concepts around this. For if you do, in that day, you will die. And then a fallen entity speaks to Eve and says, God doesn't want you to do this because you will know, you will be like the Elohim, knowing good and evil. And so she saw it was, you know, she was tempted. It was desirous and on so many levels. But the result of man rebelling against God, it wasn't just they broke one little rule. They knew they were choosing. It's an actual act of rebellion. It was because what had happened pre-garden is that heavenly bodies had rebelled against God, and them doing that was a choice to join the rebellion. Not just sort of like, goodness me, can you imagine you going to the grocers? Look at all this food, and right in the corner, there's an apple, don't bite it, you know, like, honest mistake. It wasn't like that. We make it to be something so trite, is that they were choosing to rebel against God. But here's the interesting thing. They fell into fallen time. They were in eternity. Eden was the access point to eternity. God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. So they were actually in a realm of eternity, and they chose to rebel against God and fall into fallen time. So we've already talked about, you got probably the most, because of his boldness and leadership qualities, Peter was clearly the lead apostle. He was the one that walked out on the water. He was the one that recognized it was the Lord on the beach cooking the fish, and so he decided to jump out and skinny dip towards the Lord. That's what it says. And then he's the one that preached on the day of Pentecost. So Peter had that leadership on him, especially under the power of the Holy Spirit. But John was the one that knew the Lord probably more than anyone. John had, he went from being a son of thunder, right, getting his mum to stitch up a leadership position for the Lord, to the disciple that Jesus loved. And so you've got this incredible sense of intimacy, but we see John twice tried to worship an angel. He tried to do it twice. The first song is, don't do that because I'm a fellow servant. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Whoa, lesson learned, hey? Nah. We read in Revelation 22, it does the same thing. He says, see, you do not do that. Why? Because we don't understand, Holy Ghost. We don't understand the supernatural realities in the invisible world that heavenly beings can project reality, including time. Because we just think, you know, it's just like air, but you know, TikTok, and we got the sun, and we got the moon and the stars, and it just happens the way it happens. But I'll tell you what, right now is angels and entities can project reality, including time. Even if you were to look at just the way your brain works on a level of habituation, is that you drive somewhere for the first time, my gosh, it's taking forever. And then you drive back that night and it feels like nearly half the time. It's perceptual. So that's just a very, very superficial level. So we have this we start to realize that heavenly bodies or beings, so with this one, one angel communicated the revelation, series of visions. You're going, oh yeah, John was just watching something and he was blown away. No. He was so overwhelmed that he went to worship the angel. So whether it's holographically or he could go into an encounter where he was like fully immersive, like an investigator science center, where you're actually in it, he's so overwhelmed by that reality, he worships the angel. And it wasn't just his appearance or the glory. You know, remember Daniel saw heavenly entities and he was weak for days, couldn't eat. So we get too familiar with things we don't understand. So here's the question. When Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God and join the fallen Elohim, did they come under a fallen entity that created fallen dark time? Because it talks about things like hell and death will be thrown into the lake of fire. You know, and death is the last. And then we know in the realm of the spirit that death is a spirit. I've prayed for people and not seen a spirit of death, and they've lived or rebuked the spirit of death. We're trying to break the crappy matrix that's so limiting. That, mate, you can't engage heaven through the Western brain. You actually have to allow the word of God to penetrate and hit your knower on the inside until it creates a reality that's incongruent with the limiting matrix, but it's able to line up with heavenly reality so you can see heaven manifest in your life. Otherwise, the church will have the same cancer rates, same divorce rates, same issues, same cycles, because we haven't been transformed by the renewing of our mind. So this time is most definitely it's an enigma, it's a riddle. So he intended to change times and laws or kairos and decrees. I found it really interesting. I remember, I think 2020 or 2021, I'll never forget, all these things come up on social media where all around the world in a very short period of time, these black monoliths appeared all over the world. Who remembers those things? Just like there was one on a Led Zeppelin album cover in the 70s. And there was one in the movie Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. It was just pitch black and it was so high. These started appearing all around the world. Look it up. Because in the spirit, someone was trying to change time. Now, it's one thing to lock the world down. And it's another thing to mandate things. It's another thing to create panic, fear, and chaos. Time changed. And so all of a sudden you get people believing kooky things. And time changed because if you can change time, you change the dimension of reality, you can just do things you never could do before. Since the lockdowns in 2020, the world has gone insane because times have been manipulated. Now, I'm not saying that God wants us to, the goal of all of this is to go back to 2019. I'm not saying that. That's not the goal. All right. So here's an interesting one. If you have a look at everything associated with time, let's say days of the week or even months, did you know that everything we associate with time is connected to fallen gods? Everything. So your Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is connected to the sun, the moon, Mars, Mercury, or Hermes. So this is Roman and Greek. Mercury and Hermes, Jupiter and Zeus, Venus, Aphrodite, and Saturn, Kronos. So every time you say, I'll meet you on Saturday, you are, without realizing, saying, I'll meet you at Kronos. And that extends all through the known universe. And what's interesting, when you go down further, because I have been reading so much. I mean, on the flight back, you couldn't get two more different people travel-wise than me and my wife. My wife will, you know, watch something really edgy for hours to disassociate, called The Gilmore Girls. And she's serious. I go, how can you watch that? All right. And I'm just reading. I can't stop reading. Daryl's traveled with me heaps. About to resume with that one. Travel with me. I just read the whole time. I'm just like, I just go into a zone. So what you have is time is connected to fallen entities. They're called titans. If you have a look at Genesis 6 with the watchers marrying women and having babies that became the Nephilim and the Geborim, right, is that the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, translates them as titans and giants. And so that language is all through our concept of time. It's connected to giants and titans. You go, oh, that's just a story. Well, when you go back further, is it through some guy who's done very, very thorough research? Because most people, because now we're seeing, like, you know, it's all normalized now because of Marvel, you know, Thor, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And yeah, great story, great mythology, fantastic. But what you have is it Rome and Greece, it's different names, but the same entities. So in Roman mythology, you have Saturn, but in Greek, you have Kronos. And Kronos actually was about eating the next generation, because he ate his own children, so they wouldn't be a threat to him, and in charge of eons of time, cycles of time. So here we are, every time Saturday, we're talking Kronos. Not the C-H, just C-R-O-N-O-S, right? This is so fascinating. You go, well, those are nice stories because, you know, they're all dumb back then. They had to make up stories to explain scientific reality. Really. So people through research have joined the dots and ascertained that the Roman fallen entities are exactly the same, with a few exceptions, are pretty much the same as the Greeks. So the Romans said, wow, we like this, but we're going to change the names. So where did the Greeks get it from? Well, through research that's recently come forward, is that it's come from the Middle East, in fact, the Promised Land, the Amorites. So the Amorites were the ones who understood the fallen watchers, the Nephilim, the Geborim. In other words, those entities, as communicated through Jewish culture, are probably real. Wouldn't it be interesting if the time that we understand now, where we're not productive and we can't manifest any glory, is because we're so tethered to dark entities that make you feel hopeless and continually delay things? Isn't that fascinating? If it were, it is true. Seriously, and it's so abstract. You're saying time is an entity. I'm not. But what I am saying is, when you have an angel, can, without soliciting it, just bring John into a place of revelation. John was compelled to sin against the Lord. If you do your research, it's one thing to stumble, But if you really want to get off of on a bad footing with heaven, worship and live for other gods. That's at the bottom line. I know that we've gone abstract. You guys okay? We good? How's your brain? All right, just pat yourself on the side of the head going, it's going to be okay. It's okay. So we have, one of the things is we have the crazy story that was written in the 50s by C.S. Lewis called Narnia. And we have, who's really like a literate or up to speed with what Narnia is all about? Put your hand up. Okay, I thought there'd be more. I'm not like, my wife loves it, my daughter loves it. When I watched it, I thought special effects could be better. but it's an amazing story. But what you have, obviously, they go through this, the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and they go into this house. It's set in World War II, and she goes through this wardrobe into this secret dimension, into a place called Narnia. And what's interesting is that the girl who goes through, his name's Lucy, meaning light, right? And Lucy goes through and she encounters Pan. Because remember, this is all just made up. And Pan plays a musical instrument, flute probably, and puts Lucy into sleep. Here's the problem, is when you went through to this spiritual dimension, there was a white witch who evidently I heard was half giant, isn't that interesting? And even though she kept all of Narnia under a continual winter of dark time. Outside of the wardrobe is you've got another world which looks like World War II, but you go into that realm of the spirit and you're in continual perpetual dark time, constant. And if you are asleep, you cannot change anything. Isn't it interesting when the Word of God continually asks us to be awakened? How do they sleep? Have people sleeping? How do they know if they're asleep? They probably don't. This is why God pours out His Spirit and sends prophets, etc. Because if you're so enmeshed with the fallen culture that you're in, you actually don't realize that you're just being harvested for energy and you're stuck in a matrix. So you have this reality here. There's so many wacky things that happen on our trip. Because time is the fourth dimension and it's connected to manifesting heavenly realities on the earth. It's so cool. But one of the days we went to Churchill's war rooms. Who's actually been to the war rooms in? Yeah, quite incredible. But you actually go and see, you see that it's about Winston Churchill and how the world, what the developments of the World War, quite incredible. Because who's seen the movie The Darkest Hour? That's a great movie, because as soon as he received, you know, he didn't get voted in. It was an emergency situation in response to Adolf Hitler's empire ambitions. Anyway, we're in this place, and wow, people are just seeing stuff. It was so hectic, and then we come out. Right, we come out of because it literally is the war rooms. You're underground, and then we go out and we're walking. We grab a coffee or whatever, and then we actually walk out and we say, "Oh, there's Big Ben." You know, now Big Ben is noted for its reliability. Okay, who's seen Big Ben? It's not, you know, can you imagine? You know, it's Big Ben is a big deal. It's not a big swatch. Okay, it's actually something that's highly calibrated and it's been around for a very long time. The bell part is Big Ben, the rest is the towers. I think it's St. Stephen's and it was Elizabethan and all this sort of stuff. So we come out and we look, and do you have the picture number one? You might not be able to pick it up from here, you can't. But above that, it's timestamped because someone, Megan took this picture. The picture was taken at 12:22. She goes, "Wow, look at this." But if you've got the second picture, what's the time did it freeze at? It froze at 12:12. So Big Ben actually froze at 12:12, which is double government. Is that crazy? That's not sort of like, oops. That's a major thing. Because when I went through this Greenwich Meridian place, they're talking about all the different waves of measuring time. Now they measure, not just, they got atomic clocks, very, very accurate. But I remember, who remembers this? All right, wave at me if you remember this. At the third stroke, it will be 12, 12, precisely. Boop, boop, boop. At the third stroke. Who remembers that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and this had all of this stuff in there. And so here you've got is that God actually wants to see the timeless, eternal, heavenly dimensions through his children governing, breaking through to shut down seasons of war, child trafficking, lying, disgusting media, sickness, slavery, lies. God wants to see, we're talking, to see things manifest in the glory. This is exciting because this is it's not just an enigma and a riddle anymore, because we're leaning into stuff and we're seeing, you know, World War II, it was announced that the Allies had victory on May 7th, 1945. What's the date today? May 7th. There was some seriously crazy stuff, but also too, there's a time, it's called Oxford time. Oxford time is 5 minutes late. And that's where a guy called Lewis Carroll wrote Alice in Wonderland. And Alice in Wonderland, what the story, evidently she was seven, and that took place on May the 4th in the book, and time gets stuck, so you're in a perpetual tea party. So we just think time is just, oh, it's all the same. It actually isn't. This is why Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians 5:16, redeem the time, for the days are evil. So what you have is that the war we're in, I believe, is over time. Because right now you have people trying to worship, connect with, and call forth these entities. These entities that want to bring war. It's not just people are bad. When you think of this, the Lord said, do not eat of this fruit. Don't rebel against me. I'm your father. I love you. Walk with me. Here, have command over the earth. Name the animals. And who, if you name something, you have authority over it. Right? But don't do it. Don't rebel against me, because in that day you will die. You know what? They rebelled against God, but they still would live for hundreds and hundreds of years. So the fall was bad, but we see afterwards lifespan going from, you know, 900-ish years down to 70 years. Oh, because the conditions were different before the flood. Yeah, I'm okay with that, because there was no rain, mist came up, things were probably way bigger. They found giant clam shells at the top of Everest, you know, like really quite hectic stuff. Another thing too is that fallen entities, like we read in Genesis 6 and other places, because it says there were giants in those days and afterwards. And they taught men to do evil much more effectively. I believe lifespan has been reduced dramatically due to the fact that fallen entities have corrupted mankind. And sin has abounded, violence and perversion like never before. And there's nothing new under the sun to understand that. So this is all connected to time. So we get to govern over this. Now, we can't govern anyone else if we can't govern ourselves. We can't govern over it. So it does start with baby steps. But right now is that if you are in Christ, it means you're already seated in heavenly places. If you're seated in heavenly places in Christ, it actually says you're already blessed. You're already blessed. If you don't believe that, you think one day you will get blessed, but one day will never manifest, because that looks like sun, moon, Mars. Hear what I'm saying? Fallen time. And this is something that God wants us to redeem through the realm of the Spirit. Who finds this fascinating? Because this is why Jesus said, whatever things you ask for, pray, believe you have received them and you will have them, because in the kingdom of heaven, If you're more grounded and rooted there, you'll get everything you believe for. But when we're stuck in fallen time, and so one of the things going into the Hebrides, I just kept getting in my spirit. I'm going, I'm just getting this Isaiah 34, where Hezekiah asked for 15 more years. He begged and bawled and squalled. And Isaiah said to him, hey, look, you're going to die. Right? Nothing like a prophet telling you that. Where's the edification, the exhortation and comfort? You're going to die. So get your affairs in place. And what happened, right, is this. Is that he came before the Lord and says, Lord, give me, I've lived for you, etc. And then what happened? So Isaiah's like this, and then the word of the Lord comes to him. And then he sort of goes back. And he says, you're going to go, God's going to give you an extra 15 years. And Hezekiah goes, how will I know this is real? He said, as a sign, the shadow on the sundial will go back by 10 degrees. And so that's what happened, is that time changed. And then what was interesting is a group of people, they went to the 5 o'clock. So we got this in the Hebrides. And a group of people went 5 o'clock service at Westminster Abbey. And the word they were sharing was Hezekiah 38, asking for more time. You got the 12:12. You've got the Hezekiah stuff. Again, I'm just throwing out to you data points, because it's not sort of there we go. But there's something about things that, you know, people go, acceleration, we want to accelerate. Everything accelerates, good and bad. Everything goes on turbo. And so another interesting development is someone on our trip on the last night, I don't know how they did this, they actually went to a meeting in a place called Windsor. Daryl, you know where Windsor is? Yeah, it's not down the road. It's actually 45 minutes cab from central London. And they connected, they got lined up to meet a very significant global prophet based in the UK who ministers to heads of state, very prophetically accurate. And they met with them, sat down and chatted. And they said, what are you doing here? And she said, we've done this in the Hebrides, X, Y, Z. And this prophet was like, wow, could you please put that in dot form and send it to us so we can actually pray with you guys through this stuff? Who thinks that's amazing? So there's no coincidence that I was at the Bible College of Wales, Rhys House, etc. But what I'm going to do, in a second we're going to pray. And I'm just going to cut it a little bit short. I just don't feel this other bit's necessarily appropriate. But there's an invitation for us. There's an invitation for us. It's called Hebrews 4. It's called entering into the seventh day. All right? And you don't even have to be an Adventist. It's called God's rest. It's called God's rest. And out of that place, we got so much done, and then we're in the Uber on the way to the airport, we're going, it feels like a month. Again, I don't know if anyone has time to sit back and reflect. We actually haven't, because the next few days, I will be preparing for a crusade. But anyway, so, but there's something that God is just putting here. It is a glory of God to conceal a matter, a glory of kings to seek it out. This prophet has a book she's about to release, going through all the historic events and crises that were averted because of intercessors. Isn't that interesting? One that I am very aware of was the Cuban Missile Crisis. We are in something similar at the moment with the Middle East, Ukraine, NATO and Russia. Very similar. It's interesting because Jorgen Sabine went to Germany first. So we're talking to our friend Marion in the Hebrides and we're going, is anyone talking about war? Anyone talking about, is the media talking about war and what's happening in NATO and Putin and, you know, all of that sort of stuff? She goes, all over the news, all the time. We're aware of the reality of pending war. Okay, impossible what that looks like. So we go to Jorgen Sabine. What was it like in Germany? And they said to me, nothing in the media and no one's talking about it. Isn't that fascinating? you've actually got different narratives in different parts of the world. And what we need to do, this is why we need to make sure that we are in the Spirit. I just realize that the fallen culture, not all culture is bad. Some culture does reflect heavenly realities. Okay? But a lot of culture, God says, do not love the world. Don't fall in love with the world. Love the world to reach out to it, but don't fall in love with fallen culture, because it'll suck you into a fallen matrix and you'll lose your power. But I'll tell you what, there's something at the moment where God is calling us to consecrate ourselves, because he wants us to birth something that I don't know. I'm not going to say it's never been seen, because it does say there's nothing new under the sun. But I'll tell you what right now is seeing heavenly realities manifest where the little horn intended to change times and laws. You can change time. And so this is what God is screaming at the moment, is that if we are wise, we will recognize what's going on and we can affect things from the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension basically is this, is that you must believe that it is, not that it will be. You must believe whatever things you ask for when you pray. But we're going to drill down on some of this other stuff as well. It's so cool. Sunday will be impartation. I didn't even talk about the outpouring type stuff. But there was one day where we went before the throne. We had the craziest supernatural day. It was like the glory broke out. And it was a life highlight. We knew God heard us. As soon as we at a certain time in our meeting, God just filled the room. I'm telling you right now, it was full on. And we're like, what the heck? And just, you could see people like shining like lights. It was so crazy because we were doing business before the very throne of God. As representatives, as a council, coming before him. But what we've got to do is that we have to make sure that we are consecrated and we are not so caught up with contemporary culture unto blindness. I'm not saying praise the Lord, let's all become Amish. I'm not saying that. Okay, you know, hating electricity. I just hate the bills. But he wants, there is so much that I can't, I had encounters, I still can't give language to. I was on a Voxer before just saying this, this and this, but it's still very, very clumsy. But what I want us to do, we're gonna close in a second. I want us to pray together, but I want, if you're happy for me to lead you guys in prayer and then pray over you, is that you want your eyes open to the eternal realm and that you consecrate yourself away from fallen time. Please don't just think time is like air, it's just there, it's not. It comes out of heavenly dimensions and even fallen dimensions. The fact that nearly every metric that we have in time is connected to probably fallen watches that corrupted the earth and brought accelerated darkness. Really, really, you start to really go, oh my goodness. I find it interesting that when people die on an operating table and come back, they could be dead for 1 minute, but in heaven for 2 weeks. I'm fascinated by that, you know? And so, but what we need to do is we need to be established and rooted in that place in Christ so we can actually break dark cycles of delay. We do not want to see an endless winter. It won't just stop because it's powered supernaturally. It's not just about the orbit of the sun and the moon and the planets. Can we stand to our feet, please? Can you put on some pads, please? Just close your eyes. If you want to pray this with me, we're just going to ask the Lord, you're going to consecrate yourself and you're going to ask the Lord to open your eyes in this realm. Just say this to the Lord. Dear Holy Spirit, I present myself to you as an ambassador, as a door, as a gate, as a child of heaven. I consecrate myself to walk with you to know you, to feel you, to encounter you. I renounce all darkness, distraction, and unbelief. Holy Spirit, I ask you to show me the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, of wisdom. Help me, show me what it is to redeem the time, because the days are evil. I thank you for the seventh day. I thank you for the realm of rest. I thank you for mounting up on wings of eagles. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, fallen time makes people just tired all the time because they're toiling. That's part of the curse. Toil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was going to say, if you want prayer for that, lift up your hands, but you might be too tired. Seriously, if you've been unusually fatigued, I should be exhausted. I'm sure I'll engage that part of my life in about an hour. But if you want that, if you want prayer for supernatural tiredness, raise your hands to heaven. Supernatural tiredness, not just like you've been staying up too late. Supernatural tiredness. All right, wow, come on. I'm just going to pray for you guys. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for everyone here. Wow, there is too many hands raised. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. We choose. We bind all spirits of heaviness and toil in the name of Jesus. I break off in the name of Jesus all toil, hopelessness, heaviness, despair, procrastination in the name of Jesus. I break it off. I break it off in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God. Your word says, for us to take your yoke. Your burden, your yoke is easy, your burden is light, and you'll find rest. Hallelujah. I break off false responsibility in the name of Jesus. I break off fear of man in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray over the whole fear of man. It brings a snare. Put your hands on your belly. Put your hands on your belly. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the fire of God coming out of these hands. I break all spirits of the fear of man. Performance, idolatry. I break it in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the fire of God coming out of these hands. The fire of God coming out of these hands in Jesus' name. I thank you for the fire of God coming out of these hands. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you. We break all dark power sources. We break false approvals in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, that we are designed to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that people leaving tonight will feel refreshed and energized. I thank you for heavenly waters. Heavenly waters. Heavenly waters. We reject the spirit of the age. We reject evil days. We reject these things. And we say, yes, Lord, you are our shepherd. We shall not be in want. You will lead us beside the still waters. You bring us in green pastures. You will restore our soul. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Ghost. Break off all heaviness, all heaviness, all toil, all heaviness, all toil in the name and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Feels lighter in the room. Feels lighter. That scripture, it's found in Matthew 10. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, for I am lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." When we actually try to do things outside of Christ, we're going to get ground down. You'll get ground down and you'll get caught up in toil. This is why this seems so straightforward, but it's hectically powerful. So guys, don't forget, Sunday will be impartation service. It's going to be awesome. Get here early. We will be getting rid of the chairs, and then we're going to pray for the people to put them back for the afternoon service. But it was impartation. The whole team will be here, and they will be completely healed of jet lagged by faith in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. It's great to be back. Love being in Maylands with you. Awesome. We will see you. Luminate's going to be good tomorrow. It's going to be good. See you Sunday.